with an overview from the Department of Transportation of what the governor proposes for the supplemental budget. Then we'll hear from Public Safety, and then we'll review what we propose as a committee to do, with markup, of course, coming on Monday. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tracy Hatch. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Chief Financial Officer, and Chief Operating Officer for the Department of Transportation. I'm here to present to you the supplemental budget recommendations provided by the governor, and I'll walk you through. I think everyone has a copy of a handout that's just very straightforward, walks bullet by bullet through sections of the existing Senate file that is includes the governor's recommendations. Section 1 of the bill refers to language needed for the Stillwater Lift Bridge endowment account. This is an endowment account that would be used to provide maintenance and ongoing operations of the existing Stillwater Bridge, which still will need to be moved up and down to accommodate traffic, but will be converted into a pedestrian and bike facility. This would essentially set up the endowment account. The state of Wisconsin is also contributing to this endowment account. And the funding, the principal on this account, the $6 million we're asking to be moved from the existing state road construction budget into the endowment account, would not be used for the operations and maintenance, routine maintenance, but rather the interest grown in the fund. So that's why it's before you today, even though the new Stillwater Bridge, the St. Croix Crossing, is not complete at this time. The next item, which is found in Section 5 of the existing bill, is language that would allow us to make some additional changes that we believe are necessary to fully budget by products and services. As I'm sure the committee is aware, in 2012, there were changes.
Oh, Ms. Hatch, can I interrupt you? So you're just referring to this sheet, right? This 8.5 by 11 sheet.
Exactly.
And this the bill, we don't actually have the governor's bill in front of us.
Okay.
Because isn't that a part of a larger bill?
They actually asked us not to distribute it.
Right. That's part of a larger bill that Senator Cohen is carrying, correct?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
All right.
That's
so members, so don't try to race through this. This will be the committee bill that we'll consider in a few minutes. So just if you want to follow along with Ms. Hatch's presentation, look at this sheet.
So. Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. And on the larger bill that you referenced, it does begin in Article 2 for anyone who finds that bill later or has it.
All right.
My apologies.
That's like a bill this big.
Yeah, so. It's huge.
It's online, so if you want to pull it up on your computers, you're welcome.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair and members, so continuing on from, again, the 8.5 by 11 sheet, just one page, two-sided, just trying to kind of hit the high points for you of the request that the governor has made. Section 6 of Senate File 2785, again, Article 2 of that larger bill, references the Transportation Economic Development Program. Currently, we have two appropriations for that larger program. The first appropriation was made in 2011 for the fiscal year 2012. That appropriated $20 million to a special account within the Trunk Highway Fund. The special part of that account is that those funds do not cancel. They're allowed to carry forward from biennia to biennia, which is very nice for those programs, especially if there's savings on projects that we can move to another project. It gives us a longer period of time to get those funds encumbered. We also received a $20 million appropriation for fiscal years 14 and 15, $10 million in each year. That language for 14 and 15 did not carry with it the same language that allowed us to put those funds into a continuing appropriation. So we're asking that the language be modified to provide the same opportunity there. If you're interested, so out of the $40 million we've received in appropriations so far, we have about $9.6 million that is unencumbered. Those are on projects right now that we believe will be encumbered, but to date are not encumbered. Moving forward, we are requesting a change in the appropriation, the existing appropriations, so not an additional appropriation, but a change in the existing appropriation for the Rochester Maintenance Facility. We received phased funding for that project. We received an appropriation back in 2008 of $1.4 million to do design work on the Rochester maintenance facility. Then we received in 2010 a $26.43 million appropriation to begin that project, in which we constructed a new maintenance facility on that location. It also involved a significant amount of site work, and we also uncovered a significant amount of soil remediation that we needed to deal with on that project. Essentially, what we're doing here is we're asking for the amount that was appropriated in 2010. There was about $1.4 million that was unspent from 2010. That because of some cost escalation on the second phase of the project, which was appropriated in 2012, we're just simply asking for those funds to be moved from the first appropriation to the second appropriation.
Mr. Chair. Senator Senjum.
Mr. Chair, and to the witness, I mean, just curious, I mean, it's up, it's done, the ribbons have been cut, celebrations have been had. What if we didn't do that? You've spent the money probably at this point. You just need to make the books work.
Ms. Hatch.
Mr. Chair, Senator, we actually have not completed that project. We completed phase one of that project, which was the addition of the maintenance facility and the site work. The second phase of the total ask that we came forward with in 2010 was to complete the remodel of the existing facility, which also includes moving the materials lab from where it was located, which was in kind of an office section, out into the maintenance facility, and then doing some reorganization within the existing structure.
Thank you very much.
Senator, sounds like you got another party to attend. All right. You get another hard hat or a big set of scissors or something. All right. Ms. Hatch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on, we just have a basically kind of a technical change. The 2007 flood bonds that we received, we previously provided a number that was an error to cancel $1.4 million, and we actually only can cancel $534,000 out of that appropriation. So we're just looking to make that correction. Then we're asking for some increased airport development and assistance appropriations. As you recall, in November, the general fund was able to pay back all of the school shifts, and next in line on the legislation from when those school shifts were made was also a $15 million borrow from the state airports fund. So this was repaid back in last November. We did pick it up in the November fund statement, as well as it's demonstrated in the current fund statement, which is available here at the end of February. And so we'd like to start being able to use some of those funds to move those projects forward that have been deferred since that borrow took place.
Everyone got excited about the school shift. This committee got excited about that.
Mr. Chair, we're pretty excited about it as well. So, and the local airports are anxious to be able to get these funds moving. So we're asking for $1 million in 2014, and we are prepared to get those encumbered and underway yet this fiscal year. And then we're looking for $3 million out of that fund balance to be used in fiscal year 15.
So, Ms. Hatch, can I just ask, because I actually don't really know, what is the process of figuring out how to spend those dollars?
Mr. Chair, members, there has been an exhaustive process, and that kicked off like the day that we found out we were going to get the funding. And by the way, we found out the same day that everyone else found out, so we didn't have any heads up that we were getting those funds. So we rapidly modified our fund statements that we released the following day, and immediately the plan started. Now, there was some plans in place for what would have been done had those funds been available. Obviously, the airport needs didn't just materialize. We've known them for a while. And I know our aeronautics office has worked closely with those stakeholders to prioritize that list and figure out what is both the priority and what can we move quickly. And I believe this request represents that collaborative work that they've done together with the local airports.
So just with a little more specificity, if I could ask, what does that look like? Is there a table around which people sit, or is a bunch of phone calls, or is there a list that's been established and we go back to the list and say, still need to get to this list? Or what does that literally look like?
Mr. Chair, I believe that it literally started with a list, and then I'm sure that phone calls were involved, but I do believe that they have had face-to-face meetings where they have discussed what they would move forward and what is the priority. I'd be happy to get more information from our airports division for that.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's just it's a big pot of money.
Sure is.
I'm sure everyone's sniffing around it. I just wonder if there's a deliberative process at which, all the airports that might benefit participate in what that looks like. I mean, I haven't heard that there are any problems. Yeah. I just would like to know. Thanks. I think the committee would.
Mr. Chair, absolutely. Yeah. We'll definitely follow up on that and get greater detail for the committee.
Thanks.
So moving on, again, we have made some requests to come off of the Trunk Highway Fund balance to fund some operations and maintenance and some program planning and delivery activities. These are activities that, again, have been in some, many cases deferred that we would like to take advantage of the healthy fund balance to catch up on. And in some cases, these are activities that we think if we get in front of them, they'll have really great long-term payoff for the department overall. I'm going to double back at the very end and explain a footnote there about an additional $30 million request, but I'm going to start with the operations and maintenance funding overall. We've asked for $5 million base increase to fund fleet replacement. We have, over the last many years, had to defer a number of our snowplow purchases, and rather than being on a 12-year, which is an optimum plow replacement cycle, we have headed towards an 18- to 20-year replacement. Unfortunately, with older equipment comes a lot of additional expense. It's very inefficient, and in fact, in many cases, we have mechanics that search salvage yards for parts, and we feel like if we can use some of this fund balance to help us get back on track with our plow fleet purchase, that would be a really good use of the fund. So we're asking for $5 million, and with that, we will be able to buy an additional 20 plows every year and be heading much closer to a 14-year replacement cycle than the 12 years. That is optimum, but it's certainly better than heading towards 18 or 20 years. We're also looking for a $5 million one-time appropriation for some snow and ice support equipment. And this request was made, again, all of these supplemental budget requests, other than the $30 million, which I'll speak to at the very end, was made last fall just as part of the normal process that we come up with what our needs are and they go before the governor. So these were needs that were in existence before the brutal winter that we've just experienced. And so with that $5 million appropriation, we would like to buy some equipment such as some additional snow blowers, some motor graders, some four-wheel drive loaders, tractor loaders, tow plows, which if you're ever interested and you're not familiar with what a tow plow is, that would be a topic we'd love to share with you at another time, as well as some salt cleanup equipment to keep up with the current regulations for making sure that salt isn't leaking into the groundwater, et cetera. The third bullet you see there is a $5 million one-time request to replace some of our tower lighting with LED lights. Now, that will be a pretty significant one-time investment, but it will have long-term payoffs. And we have, in some areas where we've already done this, kind of on a pilot basis, we have seen significant reduction in utility costs. And so we would like to take this opportunity to get a little bit ahead of that on some of the frequently lighted areas. On the back side of the sheet, you'll see at the very top a $2 million one-time appropriation for some enhanced patching methods that we could use more, I don't want to say experimentally, but that we don't broadly use today because of the sheer cost of those materials. They are 2 to 2.5 times the cost of regular patching materials, cold patch, but these materials such as mastic really has a long-term benefit. They flex with the pavement conditions. They don't crack. They don't come out. So we can even patch during cold weather, have the patch sit. Right now when we patch, and the moment that there's additional moisture that gets into that crack, the patch will come out, and we're back repatching. So this would give us an opportunity to get caught up on especially some of those areas where the substructure is really deficient and a little bit more of a sophisticated patching material is needed until we can get that whole structure rehabbed. Next, you'll see a $1 million request for some changeable message signs. Most of our changeable message signs that we have at the department, we contract out with private companies to provide that service of the changeable message signs. However, we believe that both from a safety perspective as well as from a traffic management perspective, if we had some, and this is just for 4 to 7 of those signs, that we think that would really help us to be able to manage the fluctuations that take place, both, again, when an incident happens on the roadway as well as for minor traffic incidents and detours. I'm going to skip the next bullet, and I'll come back to that in just a moment, but you'll see a $3 million one-time appropriation request for program planning and delivery. We have a new product, Primavera P6 is a construction project management scheduling and resource-loaded tool that we're using, and we've been working on implementing here at the department for the last few years. One of the things we've run into is both lack of internal staff capacity in terms of time, as well as a difficult time buying it in the marketplace in fits and starts. And what we really need here is we need to have a concentrated effort to get some of our existing projects loaded and into P6. And we can provide you with a lot more detail on it, but the short version of a complicated story is in order to fully manage our program and manage projects to schedule and projects to budget in a deliberate way in what we think is a more cost-effective way, we really need to make sure all of our projects are in P6. And the backlog of getting the data entered by someone who really understands the complexity of P6 and how to do that and change schedules is what we're looking to purchase here, primarily in the marketplace. The last bullet on the top of the sheet there says $14 million one-time appropriation to the state road construction, from state road construction to provide some specific improvements to Highway 14. Some of the committee may be familiar with a project we did on Highway 14 in which we were unable to reach an agreement with the local community, the counties of Still and Waseca, prior to turning the facility back. The Constitution requires that we only have one facility with any particular trunk highway designation on the system at any time. Once the new facility was completed, we did not have an option but to turn back the old facility. That old facility being now no longer on the trunk highway system, we cannot use trunk highway funds to repair that particular section of roadway. What we're looking also in a policy provision is to bring that section back onto the trunk highway system, complete the repairs to that system so that they're in a satisfactory condition from both the MnDOT perspective as well as what will serve the local communities of Still and Waseca County for a long time to come. And we'll need about $14 million from the Trunk Highway Fund to do that. There's also a request. The next request down on your list is $21 million from the County State Aid Highway Flexible Fund, which typically is used for turnbacks. So both of that funding, up to $35 million, will be needed to complete that project. I might also add that this is an agreement that we have with Still and Waseca County after much complicated discussion and some litigation. We have arrived at this agreement, but it is contingent upon legislative action allowing the movement of those funds. And then one final request that I'll circle back to. You'll see it actually in the third bullet from the top of that page is a $30 million one-time request for additional snow and ice and road repair and maintenance support. The reason that I'm saying this is kind of coming after the fact is because during the fall when we originally prepared our supplemental budget request, we did not know the kind of winter that we would experience. And so we recently made a request of the governor, and he is supportive of additional funding for MnDOT to backfill the snow and ice needs that we have. We've taken a beating this year, and we've spent to date, and this is not a full number. It does not include some payroll that has not posted. It does not include equipment that has not posted to the accounting system yet. But we have spent about $110 million. Last year, which was our most significant winter to date, was $112 million, and we are fully expecting to exceed that this year. And so our 10-year average, including those last three high winters we've had, is about $80 million. So $120 million that we're looking at this year is painful. And we have had to defer much spring activities, spring maintenance, which includes patching. Of the $30 million, we could use up to about $10 million for patching. That would be labor, equipment, and materials to support that patching effort. And then we have a lot of other needs that we would have otherwise have to defer, such as cable medium barrier, guardrail, and other spring maintenance activities. So right now we are kind of desperate for that $30 million appropriation. And then moving on down to where you see Section 16, Highway 14 turnback language, again, that is the language that would allow, from a policy perspective, the ability to spend the funding for that turnback. And again, that's the $35 million I referred to earlier. Of that $30 million, $21 million will come from CASA, the flexible highway account in the CASA fund, which is typically used for turnbacks, and $14 million would come from the trunk highway fund. And then the last item you see there on the back of the page, Section 17, again, that's just authorizing legislation for the appropriation for the Stillwater Lift Bridge Endowment that I mentioned at the very beginning of my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Hatch. I appreciate the presentation. Questions, members? All right. We will revisit some of these subjects because we picked up most of the governor's recommendations in the proposal. We do some things in a slightly different way, but in ways that I think hope are agreeable to the agency and to the committee. All right. Thank you, Ms. Hatch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, now we'll hear from Public Safety. Welcome, Deputy Commissioner Ellison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. The governor's recommendations include funding in three different areas of our department. The first is emergency communications networks, and I'm going to ask Jackie Mines, the director of that program, to just briefly explain. They start on page...
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just wondering if you have anything to look at. Any paper?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm just going off of the Article 1 Transportation Appropriations Bill, but I don't have any paper to look at.
Oh, the proposal, the committee proposal, the A1?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. So, members, so now you can look at the bill you were looking at before. So, thank you.
And again, the Emergency Communications Networks starts on page 2.2, line 2.26 and 2.27. I'm going to ask Ms. Mines to talk about this issue.
Oh, I think you're looking at the document that we don't have in front of us.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking at Senate File 2858, the A1.
Okay, all right. So, sorry, we're confused. All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. So we're looking at 2.26 of the A1. Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Jackie Mines, and I'm the Director of Emergency Communication Networks, the division of DPS. ECN is responsible for the collection of the 911 fee and the management of three programs funded through that fee, the 911 program, including Next Generation 911, ARMOR, the statewide radio system, and FirstNet, the wireless broadband dedicated to public safety. The first request on 2.26 is to include the words, this appropriation being available until the project is completed or expended. And the reason for that is the Next Generation 911 budget originally requested that project, took some time to get off the ground because of national standards being worked on and created. We now have much of that work completed, and the predominant portion of the cost will be seen in fiscal year 14 and 15. The second item on the list is on page 9.31. And that request is to increase the operating budget for the division by $5 million in fiscal year 14 and $6.86 million in 15. The current budget numbers reflect the anticipated revenue rather than the operating budget. And so our operating budget last year was a little bit less than a total of $64 million, and we're asking for that to go up to about $64,197. So the... increases are related to the increased transfer to MnDOT for the operating budget on the ARMOR system. The system is now fully completed, and so that increase is due to the fact that there's more equipment out there, so the software goes up. And then salary increases due to the cost of living increases put forward last year by the legislature, and then predominantly, again, the legacy 911 cleanup efforts. So we have to get rid of all the old network that's in the system that's been replaced by the next generation network, and that's going to take us some help with the consultant to find all the information out on that network.
Thank you. Questions, members? All right. Thank you, Ms. Mines.
Thank you.
Ms. Ellis, Deputy Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next issue has to do with Capitol Security, and I'm going to ask Major Meyerson to come up and talk about the governor is recommending an appropriation total for the biennium of $3.250 million to implement the recommendations of the Capitol Area Security Committee.
Welcome.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Robert Meyerson. I'm a major with the State Patrol. And the recommendations are based upon the State Patrol is responsible and charged with securing, providing for a secure and safe environment on the Capitol complex. And we do this through a bedrock of technology laws and staffing. And this law before you, or excuse me, this recommendation before you today is to increase the staffing levels of our civilian Capitol security officers as well as licensed police officers, the troopers that are assigned to the 140-acre Capitol complex. And the recommendations of the advisory committee was to increase by 27 Capitol security officers and an additional four. And the recommendations will allow us to come very close to, or excuse me, the proposed legislation will allow us to come very close to those recommendations.
Great. And members, if you're looking, it starts at the bottom of page 24, and it's, of course, the underlined language on page 25. All right. Thank you. Questions, members? Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, I think I heard it correctly. How many more additional officers are we talking about for Cap Security?
This will allow us to hire 25 additional Capitol Security, the civilian Capitol Security officers, and four additional state troopers.
Thank you.
Great. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Major Myers, when the legislature is not in session, are these same individuals able to do other work around the state of Minnesota? Are they, questions obviously, are they here year-round when at times the Capitol is very empty?
Major Myers.
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, yes, they are assigned to the Capitol, and I think one of the misnomers of the Capitol security force is it focuses on the Capitol and the state office building during the legislature, but the Capitol complex is actually, it's 140 acres that extends into downtown across 94 as well as north to Pennsylvania Avenue where the retirement building is. And the activities there generate enough activity to justify the additional staff year-round. We actually augment that staff during the legislative session to accommodate all the activities that occur as a result of session.
Okay. Thank you.
That's good information. Thank you. Thanks for the question. Senator Osmond, did I see? Okay. Anything else for Major Myers? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next area that is impacted by the governor's recommendations is driver and vehicle services, and I'm going to ask Ms. McCormick to briefly summarize those.
Great. And if you can.
And they begin on the bottom of page 25.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services. And the three recommendations, the first one is for the motorized bicycle. And this changes the current process so that we issue a card that would be acceptable for use for 3 years versus the one we have right now, which you pay $675 for a one-year permit. And we set the fee at $9.75. And that's to cover the costs of the card as well as postage that's involved. The
so,
second,
Ms. McCormick, I think that language is found on page 44, members, kind of down in the lower third of the page, 44.24. All right, thanks. Just wanted to. I think the appropriation is. Oh, there's no appropriation. That's just setting the fee. Okay, great. Thank you. All right, thank you. Sorry, go ahead.
And there are two other provisions that are in this bill, and one has to do with commercial driver's license federal conformity, and that is in this provision so that the department would be in conformance with CDL legislation and with the federal motor carrier safety regulations, and would thus not have a penalty of up to $26 million if we are not, if the state is not in compliance with federal regulations for CDL drivers.
And members, that's section 20 on page 46. Want to glance at that.
And then the CDL permit has to do with us having a tamper-proof learner's permit, and the fee is set at $2.50 for this permit, and then there would be the additional cost of an $8 filing fee. Currently, we just have a paper permit, and so this makes it tamper-proof and also has the photo on there for identification purposes. And that's located on page 45. At the very top of the page, you'll see the commercial learner's permit. It's a new fee of $2.50.
Great. Thank you. Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to page 46. The federal government currently has, I think they've suspended this, lots of different new driver's license provisioning requirements. Does this make those automatic, or are we just going with the current ones that are not the I forget the name of the program that they're doing that to improve the security and requirements of that driver's license? Is this going in that direction?
Are you talking about Real ID?
Yes,
Senator. We had so much fun with that subject around here for a few years. Ms. McCormick.
Mr. Chair and Senator Osmick, that has nothing to do with Real ID. It just is trying to improve the card so that we know who people are and that there has been fraud in various areas, but the state is not allowed to comply with the Real ID Act. There was legislation that was passed about 6 years ago, I think. So.
I don't want to discuss it now, but we probably should get updated on that. I think we're, impasse with the federal government is soon going to come to a critical point because it hasn't really been resolved, and so we won't discuss that now. But we do need to figure out our path on that very soon. I think we're one of how many states, Ms. McCormick, that enacted a provision? And that was interestingly, I think. When we passed that provision in the legislature, I think one person in the entire legislature voted no. Ms. McCormick, how many other states did the same or similar?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure. The number 9 is coming into my head, but I may be wrong. So I'll check and get back to you, and so that
more,
all the members know.
I think it's a lot more than that. Thanks. All right, continue.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, those are the governor's recommendations.
All right. Great. Thank you. Questions, members? No. Okay, so what we're going into session now, so we will recess, and we'll come back. We'll give you a few minutes to find some food. So I'll make an announcement on the floor, but I'm guessing we'll do like is 15 minutes after session adjourns sufficient to go forage and come back here? Yeah, and we'll be in the same location. You can just leave your stuff at the table. All right. With that, we are in recess until the call of the chair.